Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Luke chapter 2, if you will turn with me there. We shall read from the Gospel of Luke. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we thank you for the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We thank you for the good news that we each have this morning. We just pray, Lord, that we learn to grow in the peace that has been given to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you just got wind of it, it is about peace. Love came down last week. We talked about that. But now we're going to talk about peace. Peace on earth. Peace. Is there peace? Right now there is so much struggle going on in the world. It's causing people to have mental breakdowns. There's so unrest in the world right now. If you look at a map of all the conflicts, they're all over the world. I mean, we hear about Ukraine. We hear about Israel in the Gaza Strip, but in Sudan and all through Africa, there's civil war and unrest. Everywhere you look, there is no peace. Now, the world desires peace, and they have a plan. Well, let me help you with that plan. If I did bring that, I might not have. I probably didn't. I got a lot of paper here. We're going to be here a little while here, folks. Have a seat. Drink some coffee. Just kidding. But if I remember right, it was these things. It was a political agreement, meaning one world government, distribution of the wealth. Come on, think. I don't remember them. But there were four things the world would do to bring peace. And none of them would work unless everybody on this earth said, "Yeah, you're right. That's what we need to do. That's what would cause peace in this world." But people, men, humans, us, we desire peace. Peace in this world. You desire peace walking out of your car at night in the supermarket. You desire peace when you sleep. You desire peace wherever you are. And that's human nature, and that's truth. Security. Peace and security. It's what we all desire. These are the things that people are afraid of right now. The other thing is the percentage of peace that lacks in people because of the fear of physical violence. We're seeing it all around the world, but we're also seeing it here in this country. Brown University just had another shooting, or not them necessarily having another shooting, but another shooting in this country. In Sydney, there was a shooting also. There's just civil unrest. I don't have to talk to you too much about this because you know these things are true too. It's all over the place. Violence, insecurity, depression. People are hurting. They desire peace in this world. Well, where are we to get peace, and how can we attain it? How can we keep it? Well, first of all, we have to understand what it says right here, right? It says peace. What? as I'm trying to find it myself. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Whose goodwill? God's goodwill towards us. See, for peace to begin, it must start with us. We're the ones that are unrest. As is written in Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, and their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is none who fear God before their eyes. Now, it doesn't mean that there's some good in everyone. There is some good, but we have to understand something. We're all innately evil. I know that freaks people out. But you know what? You left to your own, you would do wrong things. Now you might be saying, wait a minute, how do you know that? Well, let's just go through this. Think with me. If we could, at every given moment of your life, when you're walking around, talking to people, interacting, that there'd be a screen right here, and it would speak of how you really think and feel at that moment, how would you feel? Now, let's face it. Anytime you can get into a bad mood, you can wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed, and there's just a dark cloud over your head, and you're saying things you shouldn't say. Come on. Can I get an amen? We're all like that. Now, what God is saying, I can see you inside. That's me. I see that movie. I see what you're thinking. I know your motive. I know everything about you before you even do it. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to say. That's man. That's humankind. That's the way we are. Left to our own, what happens? Read Genesis 6. Eventually, we just basically just devour each other. All it takes, if you will, is a real heavy economic woe. People begin to do whatever it takes to survive. That's human nature. But see, this is the good news. Even though there was nothing good in us, if you will, the angels came and said, hey, good news. Even though what I just said is true, good news. Good news. God has His good intentions towards you. See, Romans tells us God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, by Christ, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in His sight. Here's the deal, folks. You and I were born wicked. Good news. God so loved you that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. But not only that, but now we have been sanctified and made whole. And God says, you will be blameless. You will be perfect. And it's important to understand that because that's part of the peace. We now have peace with God. It has to begin there. That's the most vital. That's the most important thing. Romans goes on to say in chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Peace. God declares peace. God is not angry with humanity. God's in love with humanity. And that's the miracle. That's the amazing thing. That God so loved us that He cares about us, that He has brought this way to make peace between Him and us. Now, without this bridge, if you will, there would be no peace between us. God could not accept us into His beloved. God cannot accept us into a perfect heaven. You with me? But because of what God has done, there is now peace. And where did the peace come from? Grace. You can't have peace without grace. What's grace? God's unmerited favor towards you, and you didn't deserve it. But God says, guess what? I love you so much, I'm going to clothe myself in flesh. No, I'm going to become a baby. We went over this when love came down to bring peace. Is that amazing? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it doesn't bring peace into the world, though, does it? Now, again, I don't have a lot of time here, and this is longer than really it should have been because I was just kind of geeking out myself. But I'm trying not to look at my notes to make this short, okay? But here's an interesting thing. If you notice, the angels came to sing. Why are the angels so involved? I know what you're saying. Well, they're ministers. They're ministering God's servants, right? That's what they're doing here. No, I think it's deeper than that, because if you read in Revelation chapter 5, check this out. They said, John says, look, I heard the voices of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the number of them were 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. They're really into this. Why? In fact, Peter says, look, what the prophets spoke of? About the grace of God? It's the angels that desire to look into these things. They're amazed. Jesus said, when one sinner comes to faith, the angels rejoice. What's their part in this? Why are they getting so excited? Well, before time, we always think everything was created in time. No, God created before time. He created the angelical host. Before creation that we know of, this physical, He created angels. Now you know the story. Involved in this were Lucifer, who became thinking himself to be some hot stuff. He wanted to be worshipped. He sinned in heaven. And what he did was he drew a third of the angels with him. Now, when that took place is theological debate. Did it happen right in the beginning of creation of our time, or was it before? We don't know. But still, either way, it looks like he wanted to rule this creation that God was creating. Now, in doing so, what happened was there was turmoil, there was conflict in heaven. And we don't think about this, but we have to understand this battle that's happening right now on this earth has been going on for many, many eons in the angelical hosts. See, what I'm trying to bring out is the angels themselves desire peace. And the scripture speaks of them conflicting constantly with each other. And you know the battleground truly is? Is humanity. But see, the angels know something, and so should we. Came. See, in Scripture, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over the kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord hosts will perform this. They were excited because he came. clarified even more in Romans, it says this, "For with earnest expectation, the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, you can put the angelical host in that too. "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now." See, there can't be peace until He reigns. But it had to begin with Him at the cross. And because of at the cross, now we're on a time frame. A limited time frame. What you see right now, it may get worse. And I'm not here to get you excited and scared about that, because we're going to talk about peace within in a second. See, we talked about peace with God. And we're going to talk about peace without right now. There can't be peace without Christ coming to this earth. There's turmoil happening in the heavens. And a time will come when Satan, this is another theological debate. I'm not going to get into these right now. Did this happen already? But see, war broke out in heaven, it says. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast out. And they've overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." That means is there going to become more and more travail, more and more havoc amongst humans. A decision must be made to receive him who is the king, or to reject him and receive the false king. To receive the false king, well, it becomes nothing but bitterness, agony, and torment. And that is what what you will have for eternity. Now, I know this isn't such a joyful message at this point you're thinking, but it really is. There is a time that he's coming down. You should know this. Revelation 19, "Now I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." He's coming back. It's going to end. He's going to bring peace. Remember what we already said? He is the Prince of Peace. There can be no peace apart from Him. He is the one that is going to bring peace. He will, as Psalm says, "judge people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy. He will break in pieces the oppressor." It's gonna come to an end. It is gonna happen. Know that. See, our confidence, our peace, our commitment is to Him who will reign forever and ever. And that's what this is really, if you will, part of the message of Christmas. Because the angels are saying peace to these shepherds. They didn't know peace. They're oppressed by the Romans. They're oppressed every day, just like you and I are. Maybe not so much in the way that an oppressor of the government, but you're oppressed. Why? Because the enemy constantly is attacking, especially you. Why? Because you're light. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want you to share this truth. He doesn't want you to bring this peace to other people, that they may know a peace with God. Because if they do, then again, he loses another soul. And I know it's sadistic, but the truth of the matter is, he's just trying to just grab as many people as he can to be in misery with them. See, that's what sin does. It brings misery. And misery, as you know, loves company. It's like Kevin Mowry, if you will. It's like if he's standing there and he's by the pool. And you know, it's so tempting. Because there's Kevin standing there. People are all around Kevin because they all want to hear what Kevin's saying. Well, see, temptation would come that you'd want to say, you know what? I'm going to go up, sneak up, and I'm going to push Kevin into the pool. And then we'll see what everybody does. Well, if I went up and I did this and I pushed Kevin into the pool, then Kevin would all of a sudden do something that you might find un-Kevin-like. Kevin would start grabbing everybody else to pull them down into the pool with them. Why? Because misery loves company. Now, I'm not trying to scare you that if you ever see Kevin standing by the pool, you might want to stand back. But the point is, that's the way the enemy is. He knows he's going down. And please forgive me, it's not Kevin, it's not the devil. Now don't go around saying, oh, Kevin's the devil. That's not the point. The point is that devil is trying to bring as many into misery as humanly possible. He knows his time is short and he's angry. Now, there is one other thing I want to talk about quickly. And if you will, it is kind of the main thing. Because we talked about a peace with God. We're talking about peace without. How's your peace within? You know, I was going over, like I said, some things. Let me give you some of these statistics. 23.4% of U.S. adults experienced mental illness in 2024. That's 61.5 million people. 5.6% of U.S. adults experienced serious mental illness in 2024. 14.6 million. 16.5% of youths ages 6 to 17 experience mental health disorder. To me, that's amazing, especially the youth. And when I was a kid, it was nothing but dreams and just living your life, always knowing that you're going to grow up. Things can change. Things are different. There's always hope. Suicide, this was actually in 2023. I want you to know it's raised higher than this. But in 2023, suicide was the 11th leading cause of death overall in the U.S. Suicide was the second leading cause of death among people among the ages of 10 and 14 and ages 15 to 24 in the U.S. in 2023. One person dies by suicide in the U.S. about every 11 minutes. 46% of people who die by suicide had a diagnosed mental health condition. 90% of people who die by suicide may have experienced symptoms of mental health disorder. They just didn't know about it. Whether that statistic's true or not, one thing is true. Something's wrong. Something's wrong in the heart of man. See, what happens is in any society, see, it's interesting because any society that has to do what needs to be done in their life to survive and have no time to think really about themselves usually survive in a sense of mental health. What I mean by that is this. A person has to do what they need to do to survive. But when you give a person really truly time to think, it gives them time to realize how miserable they are. We in our society have a lot of time to realize how miserable we are. Now, As for believers, there's something that James says that should make all of us stand up and take notice. James says this in his epistle, chapter 4. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" He's speaking to the church. "Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." See, what God has done, and it's for all of us to learn something here this morning. That God has given you peace with Him, and that is the key to mental health. Did you know that? If you truly understand and embrace it, what I mean by that is that all of a sudden now, because see, up to this point, I'm looking at myself constantly. Oh, the guilt that I have of those things that I've done in my past, of hurting people with maybe a word or an action, they can come up and just attack me at any time. But wait a minute, that's not all of it. I also think of the things that you've done to me. And it makes me angry. And when I suck on that, then it becomes attached to me and I become bitter and I become angry. And maybe I'll take it out on someone else. Maybe I'll take it out on my son, my daughter, my grandchild, the person in front of me when we're driving. You with me? But see, there's something that's true that we have to understand. You and I have been forgiven of everything. God says you're free from the guilt and the shame. Now stay with me, He'd tell us. Live in my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus said, I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid of the things that are happening. I'm in control, He'd tell us. I'm God, and guess what? I'm coming back. I see everything that is happening. It's all happening for a purpose. Everyone must have a choice. Choose this day whom you'll serve. If you choose me, then stop with the friendship of the world. Understand that this world's on a time limit. It's going to end. But it's going to end not in a whimper, but it's going to end in a bang, because I'm coming back and there's going to be a trumpet call. And at that trumpet call, whose side are you on? Where are you at? And so now we understand something. There's a peace we can live in. A peace that He's calling us to. See, He redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. I'm in His peace now. See, He is my peace, as Scripture says. For He Himself is my peace. Everything I have is because of Him. The goodness of my life is because of Him. I can rest in the fact that the person you see now isn't going to be the person in heaven. He's at work in me. These are the things I need to hold on to. Now, there's just a few things I want you to remember. First of all, that just like we just said, Christ is my peace. He is. I don't manufacture my peace. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen that I'm not happy with. They are. Now, I wish we all could live in a bubble here. I wish we could all be Pollyannas and just go around going, "Oh, praise the Lord, everything's wonderful," as I'm going down the river and people are shooting arrows at me. But it's wonderful. No, it's a battle. It's a struggle. But the good news is He is my peace and He sees all and He will be with me the whole way through. Take that to notes. Number one, Christ is my peace, not this world. Number two, He has made me accepted. I'm accepted in Him. I'm His child. Not that I'm declaring it. He's declared it. He says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in His beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This is all Him. He's done it. He's my peace. He's made me accepted. I can come boldly before Him. I belong. I'm His child. Can you say that with me? I'm His child. One more time. Ready? I'm His child. Boy, you guys are weak. I'm His child. Thank you. Do you believe that? His love for you. Oh, did you forget already? Go listen to the tape last week. I'm not going over that again. Peace, He said. Oh, the turmoil of the world is at you. The aggravation of the waves. He comes walking on it. He says, peace. Now, I know this isn't easy. I just shared with you. It's not easy for any of us. But it's something we have to continually put our mindset on. He has brought me peace. I'm accepted in Him. Number three, rest in the work of His Spirit in our lives and His faithfulness. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify, make you holy. You completely. May I say that again? May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, now listen, He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it. Period. See, it's not your work, it's His work. He's doing it in you. So I'm resting in Him. I understand I'm accepted, but I'm also trusting that He's at work. Oh, I'm not a perfect done deal yet. I'm a project at work. It's true. But I can have the confidence that He is not going to give up on me. How many of us give up on Him? Number four. Let God's peace rule your heart. You're at peace with God. The turmoil you feel is the turmoil you have with yourself in this world. Not with God. When God corrects us, when He convicts us, it's to get us back towards the peace with Him and His love. But we stay there. And He's asking us through Paul to let this peace rule your heart. Let it govern you. If you get off a little bit, then understand, get back on. Now remember something, because the devil likes to play with us. How so? Remember I mentioned guilt? Oh, he just loves to throw that stuff back at you. Remember when you just did this, what was it, 2 years ago? Remember how you said that to that person? That was really mean. Now, you've already dealt with that. You've already asked for forgiveness from the person and God. It's done. But see, he wants to drag up all this old stuff. Why? Because it brings turmoil in you. You don't rest in God's peace. You don't rest in the sanctified work of God. You start looking at your own tools that you're trying to make yourself the better person that you want to be. Rather than, again, understanding that God's at work. Be at rest, be at peace. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Meaning, come on, let's walk together. Let's do this together. Whenever you feel that moment that you're getting unrest, that you're getting away from His peace, stop, drop, and pray. Oh, wait a minute. That's another one. Pray always. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The reason why I'm doing this in an Irish draw is because there was a pastor in California. Actually, He was the associate pastor, and this is what he would do, is lead the congregation like Mark does in prayer, but Mark doesn't do the Irish drag, and he would go up there, and that's the first thing he would always quote. I remember it to this day. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Pray. Did I mention you're accepted? God's not up there going, no, not listening to you. No, it's like, come in. Boldly come in. He wants us boldly to come in and to pray, to talk to Him, to acknowledge Him, to tell us the struggles we're having, to constantly tell the struggles we're having. If you're struggling with something this morning, let me ask you something. If it's something that annoys you, how many times do you pray about it? Remember how Jesus taught us? About the unholy judge, that this woman would keep coming to him and keep praying and keep asking. And finally, the unrighteous judge said, I am so tired of this woman coming daily to me, asking the same old stuff. Give her what she wants and get her out of here. And Jesus says, if this unrighteous judge does this to a sinner, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you? Do you think maybe that God wants to know your heart? Do you really want this out? Do you really want to stop doing this? Do you pray constantly? Do you pray with the understanding that He is listening? Yes. Stop. Pray. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep at it. Don't stop. He's drawing us in. Drawing us in that we would trust Him. Drawing us in that we would come to Him constantly. Drawing us in that He can yoke up. Come on. I see you. Not hiding. He's drawing out everything so good, so marvelous. Keep praying. He'll answer. Don't give up. Don't grow faint. The last thing I want you to draw attention to is discern when it is the flesh. Listen to Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's a good line. Do I have a peace about this? Does this keep me close to my Lord? Does this get me to think of things that I shouldn't be thinking of? Be honest, in this society, that's a constant battle. You could be doing great. Your mind could be clear. And then all of a sudden something happens. Or something you see. Or something you hear. And then all of a sudden, oh, turmoil. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Then you can start meditating on it. Hold back. Understand Him who is sovereign. He's in control of all things. God's not up there biting His nails, as some people like to think He is. He's not. And that's true of your life, too. He sees you where you are. Never giving up. Never giving in. Why? Because He's faithful. Haven't you found that to be true? You're here, listening to me, ramble on. But you know God's Word, and you know what I'm telling you is true. See, this time of year, like I told you, I enjoy it. Not because of the festive stuff. I've kind of grown old of that stuff. It's just, again, I sit and I remember and I think God became a man. God became a baby. All heaven was rejoicing because they all saw the redemptive plan of God and it was happening before their eyes. All creation moans and groans because they want again to be redeemed. Away from the oppressor. Away from the hate, the anger, the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering. And I'm just talking about within a man's heart. He's come to bring peace. Now, we're going to go into the communion service. And I am sorry I still went longer than I planned. But still, as we come into this time, I just want you to think these words. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time. We pray as we come into the communion service, Lord, help us to grab on to the truth of your spoken word. Help us, Lord, to just receive and understand your peace and that we're accepted in your beloved. And Lord, that you're doing such a marvelous, wonderful work in each of us, we can rest assured that you will complete it because you are faithful. Lord, give us the understanding of discernment. Help us to see when we start just straying a little bit, Lord. Give us understanding of that umpire in us that rules our hearts in peace. That when that peace is starting to take away from us, Lord, that we would stop, drop into our knees and pray and seek your face. And asking, Lord, to give us wisdom and understanding what it is. If it's something we need to confess, then help us to confess it. If it's something we need just to reject, help us to reject it. But help us always, Lord, to constantly come before you, understanding that we are your children because you've declared it, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in saying that too, I just pray for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I pray that whatever they're struggling with it is right now, whatever is taking away their peace, whatever it is, Lord, that's keeping them from really understanding that they're accepted in your beloved, or understanding, Lord, that the work that you're doing in them will be complete. I pray now, Father, that you would bring that peace upon their hearts, that you'd give them understanding and assurance. Lord, that you may be magnified in all of us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.